You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. Here for you Monday through Friday, and we're very happy that you make us part of your daily routine. Today we're coming to you after the Boston Celtics lose to the Philadelphia 76ers. Yes, lose to the 76ers. Doesn't happen very often. 118-115. We'll talk about everything that happened. Joel Embiid taking 5,000 free throws. Marcus Smart losing his mind. Aaron Baines injury. Al Horford. All of that stuff. Kyrie being brilliant for most of it. We are the Reign of Jays. I am John Corrales. I'm a beat writer covering the Celtics for MassLive.com. Joined, as always, postgame by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam.
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam.
I don't know why. I can't keep a goddamn straight face. I don't know what.
It's a good bit. It's the repetition. Repetition's the key to comedy.
Just, I think I know which way you're going, and you hit me. Oh, man, that's good.
I don't even know what way I'm going.
I feel like that's pretty much your motto.
Yeah, it's worked out for me so far.
So the Boston Celtics lose 118-115. Clearly, we're not very upset about this game, mostly because it took the best the Philly starters could give. Like, literally the starters, 110 points from the starters. The Philly bench gave them 8 points in this game. The starters had to go completely insane, led by Joel Embiid, 37 points, 22 rebounds. He took 21 free throws. The Boston Celtics took 16 free throws, and the Sixers took 43 overall, and they shot 90%. Like, they outscored the Boston Celtics by 26 from the free throw line and won by 3. So I'm looking at this like, it took everything they had, and it took Marcus Smart losing his mind, and it took Aaron Baines leaving the game with a sprained ankle, and it took Kyrie kind of going cold down the stretch, and Jimmy Butler having 15 in the fourth quarter. Like, all of these things had to happen for them to win this game by 3. So, yeah, they lost, and it's disappointing, but I'm looking at it like, oh, all right, congratulations, Philly, you got one. It took all of that stuff for you to get one, so great. Good for you.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a terribly played game by the Celtics. I mean, it was clearly a close game, and there was, down the stretch, you saw Kyrie Irving, a guy normally who's plays quite well, especially down the fourth quarter. He only had 5 points in the fourth quarter. What did he finish with? Around 36, but he was 1 of 6 from the field. He missed 2 easy layups. He got blocked by Embiid on kind of that big play when they were down 3. I thought, yep, he was trying to go for contact more. He kind of went back to his right instead of staying to his left, but it just wasn't great late game execution. And then Jimmy Butler just made big shots after just not being there for the entire fourth quarter. He comes in and scores 15 in the fourth and 2 huge threes there to kind of tie the game. I thought him and Tobias Harris did a pretty solid job of Tobias Harris did a good job of kind of, he was exchanging buckets with Terry Rozier at that point, but it was really tough. Like, the Celtics had to play, like, semi-played 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. Brad tried to sneak Al Horford some rest and had to play 2 minutes of Daniel Tice in the fourth quarter. That just really didn't go well. Tice was a -6 in his 2 minutes. Yeah, the lack of depth. Hayward being out with a concussion, I thought, really hurt them. But you're right. It's just I can't get too upset because I feel like you bring Smart back, you bring Hayward back. I think we can talk about Baines' projected grade 2 sprain later, and I'm very ready to play Twitter doctor on that, but I think we can do that segment too. You bring that kind of those guys back. I think the defense improves down the stretch, and maybe the offensive execution is a little bit better. I mean, they didn't play great defense in the fourth quarter. They gave up 33 points, but there's some plays in there where there's some offensive rebounds that I thought they gave up, which led to some Butler second chances. Mook wasn't great against defending Ben Simmons, but I don't know. I don't think it was like one of those games where we saw the Celtics give horrendous effort or they just really were terrible. I think it was just they missed some shots and they could have been a little bit sounder on defense. But you know what? Maybe they were a little bit tired because they're missing three of their major pieces.
Yeah, I think even if Baines didn't get hurt, those minutes there where Tice was in would have been different enough. So, look, this is what happens, and you have to get past it. You can't. There's a part of me I was just about to say you can't make excuses, but it's not that you can't make excuses. It's that this is what happened. They were hurt. Marcus Smart did something stupid. Gordon Hayward is hurt. And they don't have the type of depth at the right position. Like Daniel Tice does not play well against guys like Embiid. I mean, not many people do, but against like Marc Gasol or Andre Drummond or any of those big, tough centers that can really back you down. And especially a guy like Embiid, who not only is big and strong, he grifts like a motherfucker. So he'll go out there and sell fouls. Like for a guy that size, I know we've got Marcus Smart, but he is right there on Smart's level when it comes to throwing a flop in and selling fouls from time to time. So, but Tice just can't hang with him in those minutes.
But
really,
those Tice minutes did hurt, but like the Celtics only lost by 3 points and they're in this game. And I think Kyrie just said it after the game. He missed some easy ones. Like they still were very much
had
a chance to win this game. And you expect Kyrie Irving just to make those in the fourth quarter. And for some reason tonight, it just didn't happen. And so I agree that you don't want to like make excuses. Like I think it was just like, sometimes it's a make or miss league and sometimes they didn't go in. If the Celtics were to play the 76ers in the playoffs, there's no level of concern there. I think that the Celtics clearly show that they're just as good as the 76ers. And the past two seasons, the Celtics have won the first three matchups and then the 76ers have come back to win the fourth one. I don't know. It's just like sometimes some of the shots don't fall. I mean, Tatum missed a three, like an open three. They had opportunities. It wasn't like they were completely crippled by their lack of depth. It was just like, I don't know, just sometimes it didn't go in. And then, like, the free throws thing is, like, I'm trying to remember, like, specific instances. There's a lot of times where it's, like, Embiid, like, him going to line 21 times is absurd. And I agree that he's a pretty good actor, but I can't think of, really absurd foul calls on him that was like I thought were ridiculous. There was the one when Marcus Morris tried to charge. I mean, that's the risk of grifting. You're just gonna give up a dunk like that. I thought it could have been called a charge, but who knows? There's one where he kind of banged knees with Al Horford that I really didn't think was a call, but I don't know. He's a giant guy and it's very hard to guard him. So of course you're gonna be physical with him. I feel like it kind of depends on how the ref's gonna call him. The non Embiid edition, I mean, every other member of the starting lineup had four or five foul attempts. And there's just some dumb fouls by the Celtics, like fouling J.J. Redick for three at the end of the half.
Yep.
Tatum bit on some up fakes. There's just like some biting on some Jimmy Butler up fakes coming off screens of Embiid. It's like it's bad enough to like let Embiid get to the free throw line that many times, but you let all those other guys, that's how they end up shooting 43. And it's insane that they give them credit for making 90% of them because they only shot 38% from the field, which is Like, if you're just talking about half-court defense, it feels like the Celtics did a pretty damn good job if you're forcing 38%. But you can't be letting the team get to the line 43 times. Like, as much as there's, like, a complaint and a disparity, there's always going to be a disparity because the Celtics just can't get to the line whatsoever. And they have Joel Embiid. But you can't be, like, giving them free ones like they did for Redick at the end of the half.
No, that's bad. And, look, the Celtics did bad things. They Marcus Morris did not have a good night. Jason Tatum had a good night, I think, on offense attacking, but I don't think he made a fair amount of mistakes defensively. But no team's gonna play perfect. But the Celtics had chances in all of this. The Celtics had chances to win. So. Take away all the other stuff. The Celtics could have executed better down the stretch. Hayward, Baines, Smart, whatever. Like, yeah, Smart. If Smart was in the game, he would have guarded Jimmy Butler, and some of those shots might not have fallen. At the same time, the guys who are in there need to do a better job. And Brad Stevens said afterwards that he probably should have played Shemmy down the stretch instead of Marcus Morris, who was not good. People are just really churning hard on Marcus Morris right now because he's up and down. We'll put it that way. People are going to get on me for that, but he does still do good
things. I thought he was back.
Yeah, he still does good things. Like, if you look at the entirety of the game, he still had some good things. He still does some good things.
But he probably shouldn't be in your closing five. You have Gordon Hayward. You have Marcus Smart. You have guys who you would imagine if you're closing down, he would not be there.
I would think that as we move forward, it's the closing five that are going to – that's going to be where he loses his minutes. It's going to be Hayward. It's going to be Jaylen Brown down the stretch, Marcus Smart. Like, all of those guys. I guess the question tonight down the stretch people are saying Marcus Morris shouldn't have been in there. Okay, I guess Shemi Ojeley should have, but you really don't have many choices there. Shemi gave them a bunch of good minutes, and I can see him definitely getting minutes down that stretch, but Brad Stevens trusts Marcus Morris to make the plays. So,
also, when Shemi Ojeley was in the game, they basically could hide J.J. Redick on him. You like down the stretch, you notice that Redick wasn't even in the game defensively, just because they were searching him out and abusing him, Jaylen Brown, posting him up.
Yep.
Like, Shemi is just—he's not like that as good a player. Mook, you at least have to respect him and guard him with a bigger guy. I think, like, I guess you can complain about Mook down the stretch, but I just don't know. Are you really going to play Shemi down the stretch? It feels like a bold move that it's easy to make in hindsight.
It is. It's very easy to make these decisions after the fact. But like I said, came down to the make-miss. Kyrie missed some makeable shots. Jimmy Butler did not, and they won by three. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of the other things that happened.
We got to talk Marcus Smart fight. We haven't even mentioned it yet.
We haven't
the
really,
actual incident.
Yeah, the actual incident. We'll talk about that. Terry Rozier went off. We'll talk a little bit about Terry, and we'll talk about much more, your tweets, junk drawer, when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Marcus Smart and Joel Embiid got into it in this game, and it was not pretty for Marcus Smart, who got a flagrant two and was ejected. So the way it happened was Joel Embiid leaned into Marcus Smart and gave him a little elbow that right in the side that didn't get called a foul. That was a pretty blatant foul. Now, Marcus, of course, sold it pretty well and didn't get the call. He also didn't like the fact that Embiid had an elbow for his ribs. So he went back at Embiid and pushed Embiid in the small of the back.
He didn't just go back at Embiid. He got up and immediately shoved Embiid in the back, yep, making him fall over. And in retrospect, right now, I mean, yeah, probably cost them the game.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. And but it was objectively funny.
It was. Like, the Embiid, both guys, like, really tried to sell. Like, Marcus Smart is a strong guy, but Embiid made sure, like, he went, like, into the first row, and he was pushed from the lane. Marcus Smart is not that strong. But
I don't even, I think he might be. Like, I don't know if you're unsuspecting and Marcus Smart pushes you as hard as he can in the back, I think he might go flying.
No, not like this. That's a sell job, which is fine. It would still, I don't disagree with the flagrant two. You can't do that. And especially in today's NBA, you can't do that. So maybe once upon a time when I was a young kid, you could do that and you'd get like a foul, maybe a tech, but, that ended up costing the Celtics the game, because it was, you lose Marcus Smart. And after the game, Brad Stevens was great after the game. First of all, he says, disappointed in Smart. We need you out there. But then later on, he says, you know, that's what we love about Marcus Smart, his fire. And, you know, a time or two a year, it's going to bite him. And basically saying, this shit happens with Marcus Smart. And it's going to happen once or twice a season. You kind of just have to deal.
Did he say a time or two a year, or a crime or two a year? Because I heard crime the first time, and it's way funnier if it's crime.
You can say crime, but it was a time or two a year. But that'd be really funny if he said a crime or two. But no, I'm pretty sure he said a time or two a year. But
crime is way better. But if you think about the perspective, last year his crime was punching a picture frame. And he was out for like 8 games. So
yes,
being out for like the second half of this game is nothing in comparison. And so, I mean, it was just foolish, but it's like, I don't know. That's classic Marcus Smart. Like, that's just, he was hyped. Like, that's just what he does. Like, he's not going to do it the rest of the year. He got it out of his system. I think the play right before it, he got called for a foul where he was, basically it was him and Joel Embiid going for the ball. Like, yeah, you can always kind of see the Marcus Smart flare-ups coming. It's when he gets frustrated, like, two plays before. Either he gets, like, hit in the head, or he gets called for something he doesn't like. But I don't know. I thought it had a big impact on their defense, but I don't know. I can't be too upset with Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart is amazing. Now, the thing I am upset about is what Brad said after the game, that Aaron Baines has a grade 2 ankle sprain.
Grade
and
two.
Some quick Googling says grade 2 is worse than grade 1.
Yes.
But actually, it says that grade 2 means you have a partial tear on the ligament, which sounds terrible. And I've been seeing things on Twitter where that means it's like anywhere from like a 2 to 6 week recovery, which is not great considering the playoffs are fast approaching.
Yeah, as basically a professional ankle sprainer, having basically my left ankle is
basically, I thought you were going to say as a professional ankle.
Yeah, no, just a professional ankle sprainer. I've suffered all grades of ankle sprain, and the grade 3, usually the grade 3 is like that first good one as a basketball player. You hear that thing pop, and that sidelines you for a while. You're on crutches for a while. The grade 2, yeah, I can see him being out for a couple of weeks. And that probably brings him back at the last week of the season. So we're at, what, 11 games left? This was game 72, right? So
I believe so, yeah. Playoffs usually start around tax day, so he's got a couple, maybe a little earlier. So he's got 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks left.
Yep. So we're at it's the 20th this game was on. So the 3rd, April 3rd is 2 weeks. April 10th is 3 weeks. The playoffs probably start on the 13th. So if he's not ready by the end of the season, he'll be ready for maybe the beginning of the playoffs. But some of it depends on how often guys have sprained their ankles before. Like, at this point, Like for me, I could completely turn my left ankle and it'll hurt like a mother. And then a day later, 2 days later, I'm fine. And it's just, if you've gone through it, the more you've gone through it, the shorter the recovery time tends to be. So I don't know. It could be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, who knows with him. We'll see what they say. But
it's Baines. He's Australian. It's going to be a week and a half.
Yeah, he probably wants to play against Charlotte. But now we're now in a position where now without Baines again, it's more of the Tice, Robert Williams, front court with problems against, you know, how are they going to go against Indiana? Like this is going to be a real issue here for the Celtics. If they're going to try to get that home court in the first round, they're a game behind the Pacers with two games to play against Indiana, and Baines may miss both of those. And that's going to be hard for them to beat the Pacers without Aaron Baines. So that's going to be difficult. And, the Celtics would really love to have home court in at least that first round. It's going to be difficult to make to make a run in the playoffs and go road series. Like that's a lot to ask of a team. And I know people might be sitting there thinking, why are you even thinking that far down the road? But I don't know. I think the Celtics are going to have a tough time getting this home court now. So we'll see when Baines comes back. Disappointing, but who knows with him. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show with your tweets, the junk drawer, and Terry Rozier still throwing some serious shade at Philadelphia with a money quote. You're going to love this one. Stick around for more of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Terry Rozier, one of the players going up to the scrum after the game, and he had probably the quote of the night. So, Jam, you heard it. Why don't you...
He said after the game, I thought the confetti was going to drop tonight. A big win for them. Don't want to take nothing away from them, but I thought the confetti was going to drop tonight. And it's just fantastic shade from Tito Three Sticks. And I think it actually helps his game because after the game against the Nuggets, some Phillies fans were chirping him, and they said they hadn't won since AI was playing. And then he comes out tonight and was fantastic. One of his better games of the season. 20 points, 4 of 8 from 3. Actually started 4 of 4 from deep. He had some nice points, 6 straight points down the stretch for the Celtics. I think the key to Terry Rozier playing well is just more shit-talking, especially being online. He's a millennial. He's a great poster. I just think he needs to do more of this stuff because it clearly fuels him.
Yeah. Oh man, he was like Scary Terry there for a stretch in the second quarter. So yeah, when I don't want to make it seem like this is the beginning of something. I don't know what it is, but if he's playing against the Sixers, like that's the one thing he does well is he plays against the Sixers and plays like burns the Sixers. So I'm all about Terry Rozier getting significant minutes against Philadelphia. I'll just leave it at that. Why don't we move on to some of the tweets? We ask you to send us your thoughts over the Twitter machine with the hashtag Rain and Jays or Rain and Junk. Rain and Jays are your quote unquote serious questions. So let's get to some of those. At Jammin 13P, Al's fourth foul was a bad call. It looked like he was stationary and Embiid ran into him. It resulted in Ben Simmons converting a 3-point play with 40 seconds left. That was a tough one. I don't know. I have to go back.
You don't call it and Embiid throws the ball, like it would have been an Embiid like losing the ball and throwing it away.
The
76ers say it's a horrendous call because it's just like one of those ones where it's like, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's probably not a huge foul on foul, but he's all you can't call a charge on that. You can't call an offensive foul. And so you're really going to just like say it's a turnover. I don't know. I understand why they called it because there was contact and it's technically, I think it's technically a block.
I think if it wasn't going to be one of those, like if he had done that and didn't lose the ball or something, they might not have called it, but because the contact and he lost the ball, it's one of those kind of 50-50 calls. I don't know. I'm not gonna lose my mind over that one. It wasn't a great call, but it's not like so horribly egregious. But I have to go back and look at it just to confirm my take on that. At Title City Boston, will Smart get a suspension for engaging in a little extracurricular activity? It's so hard
to
say.
I hope not.
I hope not, and it's hard to say. Like I have trouble gauging this sometimes. You look at that. The fight in Toronto with
Serge Ibaka tried to pick up Marquise Chris by his neck and only got two games. So
we got three.
I'd still be shocked.
He got three.
He didn't throw any punches. There was like nothing afterwards.
Right. Marquise Chris got one for throwing the punch at who was it? Ibaka. And I don't know. It depends on what they consider that push. And if they consider like Marcus Smart's history, he's done this before and he's been fined before. And I would say that probably not, but I still also wouldn't be surprised if it was a one game suspension because you just can't let Marcus Smart keep pushing guys in the back all the time. I know we love it. And I know that might come across as slander, but from the NBA's perspective, it's like, how many times are you going to let this guy push a guy in the back like that? He's got the flagrant two. He got ejected. They might try to ramp up the punishment because he's a repeat offender and say, okay, it has been fines before, but now you're going to get a game, which is not just a game. It's also a game check, and that's a lot of money. So it's a lot more than that $50,000 fine. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got a game.
I would be outraged. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'd be outraged.
Sure, that's fair. At RifeC, Ojale giving the Celtics some great minutes when they really needed them tonight. He did in the third quarter. He was really good. And, yeah, so a lot of people are going to be like, play Shemmy over Mook. I don't know that he's there yet. Maybe this is an opportunity.
Play Hayward over Mook, huh?
Right.
That guy needs to be – He did do a nice treadmill workout today, so I expect him back for the Charlotte game.
That would be big. At Micah Angelo, up five going into the fourth in a row. No Smart, no Baines, no Hayward. I like our chances. It took everything that they had to beat the Celtics there. So I like the Celtics' chances. Even like down the stretch when it was tied, I still thought the Celtics were going to pull it out.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought they had a chance pretty much until that Ben Simmons and one, and even pretty much until I thought they had a chance until Kyrie got blocked at the end. It was a very close game. So it was actually pretty impressive the way they were able to sustain the kind of Joel Embiid came out in the third quarter. And especially after that Marcus Smart brouhaha came out and was dominant, and the Celtics kind of withstood that and were up five going into the fourth. I thought they did a nice job of kind of, locking in on defense. The Sixers didn't score field goals for the final 5 minutes of that third quarter. So I thought the Celtics, I did like their chances. It just didn't happen to work out.
That's it for the hashtag. The only other note I have from the game that I wanted to mention was the Terry Rozier, the first three that he hit. It was a corner three in the second quarter where he brought the ball up and he was aggressive, and it was going to be one of those, it felt like, where he attacked and was a little too aggressive and put up like a contested shot from 12 feet away. Instead, he gave it up. He moved. The ball moved. He got into the corner, got a little bit of a screen, and he hit a wide open corner three. And that's what started him getting hot. And I just wanted to bring that up because Terry Rozier hasn't done that at all this season. But that is a great example of giving the ball up and trusting your teammates and then the ball finding the right person. How many times have I said that on this podcast? I wish Terry Rozier did that more. I hope that comes up in film session so Brad Stevens can be like, this, do this more. Do this more, and you will have more good games. And it's Terry Rozier has been notorious all season for being selfish and trying to get his own shots up. But that is a great example of when you give it up and you make the right play, you have a good chance of getting the ball back, and he did, and that got him going. So I just wanted to bring that up before we moved on to the junk.
I got one more thing along those lines of players doing things well that they need to do more. Jason Tatum, go into the rim.
Yeah.
He caught it and went, or he drove on Embiid. He drove on Butler. I just thought he did a very good job of just taking it and going to the rim. Only attempted 2 threes tonight. But he was just five layups, were his other shots. He just needs to keep doing that. I thought it was he struggled on defense, as we mentioned, but I thought it was one of his better offensive performances because he's clearly much better. He has a lot of talent going to the rim. So hear, hear. Keep doing that.
Okay. Junk.
This is junk. We have two about this subject matter from A.M. Matar and Aiden Tomlinson. So this is from A.M. Al Horford's flinch after Ben Simmons missed off-balance floater at the end of the first quarter. In my opinion, international treasure. Discuss. I like that. Not a question. And then Aiden asks, is that a flinch, Al Horford, or an Al Horford flinch at the end of the first quarter buzzer beater? Hashtag Ben Simmons is a coward. Now, I'm going to say I didn't notice the flinch, but I did notice Ben Simmons refusing to take a three and taking a two at the end of the quarter, and then just him being generally scared. And so he remains a coward, but I do have to give him credit for supporting Egg Boy from Australia on his shoes. I thought that was a stand-up move.
I agree. Yeah, and I did see the Al Horford flinch. There was a sequence there at the end of the first quarter where Kyrie drove against Embiid and did a quick, wrong foot jump layup. And then Simmons fired up that buzzer beater. And as the rebound came off, Al flinched as he was running to the bench. So that's classic Al Horford, man. That's like the ultimate on-court dad joke.
It's has it ever been explained why he does it? Is it just like a weird reaction that he has?
He does it. He says he does it because he thinks it's funny.
Okay.
Yeah, he has said it. I can Google it, but he said that. I do.
It's like owning them because they missed.
It keeps guys loose. He does it. He does it at the free throw line, and he's like, yeah, it keeps guys loose.
That's classic. I like that a lot. I didn't know that. I thought it was just like a weird tick, but if he's doing it intentionally, that's great.
Yeah, he's doing it. I mean, if you Google it, there's a thing where he explains. Here's the quote. I'll read you the quote. I just try to keep it loose sometimes for the guys. The game is so serious at times. I take it very serious, but there are times that you put things in perspective. That's something I've been doing for years. I kind of stopped doing it. The other night I was just messing around. I started doing it, and that's it.
There you go. All right, this is from Commodore Matt Decker. Embiid is massive. He makes Baines look like all of Tasmania. I don't disagree. It's really just difficult to guard him. He seemed to be a lot more physical with the Celtics tonight, and maybe that was the reason he got kind of the more favorable whistle. I don't know. I thought the refs were the ones who were cowards. After last game where Embiid said they fucking sucked, it felt like they really kind of gave into that. And so I don't know. I think in the playoffs where everything slows down and gets a little more physical, I don't know if these two teams match up. And right now it doesn't look like they'll really be aligned in the same bracket. But I don't know if he's going to be get as friendly as a whistle. But more ref talk from James Beard. These refs are some real junk. Are raining some real junk right now. I like that. there's one tweet. I'm not going to say who it was, but he's talking about how Jimmy Butler plays against the Celtics, and there's a picture of a garbage fire. It's like, oh man, a little early for that one. And then the rest is just people complaining about free throws. So I don't feel like the need to go into that. Which brings us to the Jam Witch Jam of the Game. Maybe sponsored by Welch's. They did reach out today on Twitter. So the fine people of Welch's, you could sponsor the Jam Witch Jam of the Game. And tonight it goes to Aaron Baines, who dunked a pick and roll from Kyrie Irving. Great dunk. and a great jam, just as delicious as a Welch's Jamwich peanut butter and jelly sandwich. No crust, but it's delicious. Find it in your frozen food aisle. That's the Jamwich, which jam of the game.
Once we get that thing down, there's no way the Welch's can't sponsor that. That's beautiful. That's perfect. What you just did was poetic.
We need to isolate that bit and send it to them. Oh, even if we had some intro music too, that'd be funky.
Yeah, I can do a Jamwich production thing. I can make that.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
We just got to isolate that part because I hope Welch as a family company doesn't listen to the rest of my junk drawer, because I'm looking at my the end of my junk drawer. My final note is just Al Horford is pure sex. So.
I can isolate that and I'll tweet it out from the Rain and Jay's account and tag
that. That sounds fantastic.
We're gonna get that grape juice money, baby.
I hope so. Relatively short junk drawer. I feel like I mentioned a number of other things. JJ Redick can't take a charge to save his life. I feel like he got dominated early in the first half. Red Panda stinks. Franklin the dog, he also stinks. All he does is climb on a ladder. Semi Ojeleye, I thought he had a nice hustle play to end the third quarter, I believe. It was awesome work because he was jumping for a loose ball and James Ennis was running and he ran into Ojeleye, who was in midair and fell over. And I was just like, man, that guy's strong. And then finally, just this is more of a regular observation, but every Joel Embiid 3-point attempt is a win for the Celtics.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the goal. And he loves taking those things. I thought that he would take a few more in the fourth quarter. So credit to him for not falling back into that habit. But that's something that he definitely would have done in past games. So, yeah, that's a huge win for the Celtics.
Yeah, no, I thought he tired out. And so, I mean, I guess you can say the Sixers are clearly like a better team because Embiid wasn't great in the fourth quarter and they can go to guys like Harris and Butler. But, you know, if Embiid's going to tire himself out, I think, and the Celtics are going to have full strength, I think they're still going to have the advantage moving forward. But now that I think about it, this is probably the last time they're going to play unless they meet in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the way the seeding's working out. Because they're pretty much locked up the third seed at this point. Boy, that's disappointing. We might not see the Sixers anymore this season.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, maybe they can make it to the finals, but I don't know. The playoffs are going to be good. The season is quite long, and I get upset every time the Celtics have like a long stretch of no games. But, man, they just need to get to the playoffs already. I feel like the Celtics are also kind of in that mode. They clearly got up tonight for the Sixers game, but it's like it's going to be interesting to see how they play down the stretch playing. Like, other than the games against the Pacers, and I think they have a game against the Spurs, there's a lot of games against some nothing teams. It'll be interesting to see their effort level and how serious they take these games, especially down the stretch, and see how important home court is. Because maybe I could just see the Celtics being like, we can beat the Pacers no matter what. Let's just like rest.
They can beat just about anybody if they play to their capacity, if they play 100%, if they're fully healthy and they play like they're supposed to play, they can beat anybody. But the question is doing that. That's the problem. And the way they've played on the road, generally speaking, has been problematic. And so getting home court, and hey, on top of everything, why not have the potential for four home games instead of two? And getting a little extra money for your owners, you know.
Yeah, Wick Rispix has enough money.
Yeah, he has enough money, but I'm just saying, throw a little something the team's way to help them pay that luxury tax bill. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Just why not play more games at home? Why not? Why you got to go travel on the road? Try to.
You know, the best way to play more games at home is to keep winning series.
It's true. That is.
Then
true.
You're guaranteed two more every time.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll see how it goes, and hopefully we'll be doing post-game podcasts well into June. But if you're going to have to subscribe if you're not a subscriber to find out if we do. So please subscribe. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you are not a subscriber, or if you are a subscriber, give us that 5-star rating, give us that good review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.